It's been quite a week for almost everyone else this week, well, since last Monday, which is the last time I had a mass in this chapel. This week has been rain, flood, cancellation, rain, flood, cancellation, rain, flood. And now it's raining again. But for me, although I was still at home on Monday last week, and it was raining, and it rained all night that night, I spent most of the week in the hospital, and for days I didn't even see the sky. I didn't see anything because I was in a room with no windows. So, and at first I didn't even notice it because I was so weak myself. But I kept hearing stories from the nurses and the aides and everybody about the terrible disruption that the hospital was facing because the staff couldn't get to work, and so those who were there had to work double shifts, and they were short-staffed all week and really working hard. So I admire the workers that I met there, and they gave me marvelous care, so thanks be to God. But for everybody else on the whole island of Luzon, this past week has been one rainy, wet week. So we each have our own experiences, and I'm still processing my own, so I apologize if I have no idea where I am in the liturgy. This has been the longest I have gone, perhaps in my priestly life, without saying Mass. I can't think of another time when I went for so many days without offering a Mass. I was able to attend Mass three times in the hospital chapel, for which I'm very grateful. And I don't think I've ever gone to three Masses in a row since I became a priest without at least celebrating. But so that's a part of what I'm reflecting on. But to get myself out of the picture here, let's reflect a little bit on the scriptures. We have in the first reading a continuation of the reading from Exodus. In this case, Moses' first encounter with the depraved people who are worshiping the molten calf. Remember, God told Moses to go down to his people. He shouldn't have been completely surprised. He wasn't surprised. God told Moses, I don't know if it was in any of the readings last week, I can't remember, but if you know the story, God said to Moses, go down to your people, for they have become depraved. It seems that what God wanted Moses to do was go down and lead the people back into the right way. Although he did say, leave me alone and I'm going to destroy the people. And Moses is the one who said, no, Lord, don't destroy them because you'll get a bad reputation. And for the sake of your name and for the sake of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, be faithful to the covenant. And Moses at that time said, not Moses, God at that time changed his mind. He said, okay, I won't destroy the people. So Moses knew that God was not going to destroy the people or for the terrible sin. But when Moses himself comes down and sees the revelry going on, he is the one who gets angry. And you know, Moses was a bit of a hot-tempered fellow. He was a murderer when he was a younger man. And here's his anger flaring up, wrath flaring up, and he breaks the tablets. Did God tell him to do that? It's not clear from the scriptures that he was supposed to break the tablets, but he did. And then he destroyed the calf, and he made the people drink from the ground-up calf. I don't think that was God's will, but Moses was just one. He was furious. It seems as if he was angrier than God was. Now, they skip over the part. The liturgy skips over the part where Moses calls the Levites to himself, and actually everybody who has not rebelled, and he tells them to pick up their swords and kill their brothers. And so they kill 3,000 people. I don't know if you know that's what happened. Moses told them to kill everybody. So they killed 3,000 people. I don't think that was the will of God either, but it's not clear from the scriptures exactly what was going on. My reflection on this is that God's ways are not our ways. the way God reacts to our sin is not the way we react to people's sin. God does not punish us the way we would punish each other. Even Moses is not the example of mercy here. God is the example. And at the end of the reading, God says to Moses, go and lead the people to the place I have told you. In other words, stop punishing them. Do your job as the leader and take them to the promised land. My angel will go before you. When it is time for me to punish, I will punish them for their sin. As if to say, give up on this punishing business. That's my job. The very strange thing about this reading is Aaron. Aaron did not get killed among the 3,000, even though Aaron was clearly guilty. And he gets off with this strange excuse that it was the people, it was their fault, and all he did was take all their jewelry and throw it into the fire, and a calf came out. It's a really weird thing to say. It's as if he's not at all responsible for at least failing to lead. As if he's not at all responsible for the calf, which he himself made. So I don't know why he doesn't get punished. And I think it's part of the mystery that's being revealed here. God did not strike Aaron down, and neither did Moses strike Aaron down. Aaron got away with it all. I don't understand it, and I don't think we're supposed to understand it, because we're not God, and we're not in the position to exercise divine judgment on anybody, even on Aaron. Well, God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. So let's turn to the gospel and learn how God thinks about things. God has this special concern for small things, little ways, hidden means by which to transform the world. You know, the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. I was reflecting a lot about little things. My infection wasn't yeast, which is kind of bacteria. Bacterial infections are a lot easier to treat because you just give antibiotics now. But viral infections, which is what I had, they can't really do anything about it. A couple of the doctors said, actually, we don't have any way to treat dengue. We just wait for the body to defeat the virus. And that's basically all I've been doing, waiting for my body to defeat the virus. And when there are indicators, finally, when the platelet count is what they watch closely, when indicators are that the body is winning the fight, then you know that you're out of danger. A virus is very, very small, smaller than a bacteria. It's almost, it's on the microscopic level. I don't really understand viruses, and I don't know if anybody does, because they're not alive, but they seem to be very capable of reproducing themselves. And this virus, which I received from one mosquito, mosquitoes are very small. So if God wants to punish, all he has to do is send one mosquito. He doesn't have to send Moses with 3,000 people carrying their swords. He doesn't have to use the human means. He can do anything he wants to humble us, to remind us of our dependence on him. So even one mosquito is enough, or even one virus, because once you get one virus, it multiplies very, very rapidly. I was told the virus I had is a systemic virus. It affects the whole body. So that doesn't just target one, doesn't just target platelets. I thought it was just wiping out platelets. He said, no, no, platelets, that's just a side effect. The whole body is affected by the virus. So that's why I'm still recovering. But just as one virus or one mosquito or one bacteria or one mustard seed is capable of extraordinary things, I think God wants us to know that one prayer is very powerful. One prayer. Hidden, we don't know what happens if we pray one Hail Mary. We don't know what happens if we if we say yes to God in our hearts one time, but it has a hidden effect like yeast. And what's the effect of having many people saying yes to God in their hearts? Does anybody notice? No. But God knows. And God likes to use this kind of hidden leaven in society. So let's not only welcome the hidden ways God works in us, but let us also be His hidden agents in society. Let us be the yeast in society to be agents of God's transforming power. We all know we need it. The society needs it, the world needs it. So let us do our best to cooperate with this hidden, tiny, and very powerful means God uses to establish His kingdom in the world.